My name is Dr. Lawrence Chu. I'm an associate professor at California State University Northridge in the Department of Health Sciences. We affectionately call California State University Northridge CSUN. It is located in the San Fernando Valley, and we do get a lot of sun and heat-related illnesses there during the summertime. My research interests primarily revolved around injury epidemiology, especially among the elderly population. My dissertation quite some time ago was on homicide among the elderly, the victims and the perpetrators of homicide in the elderly. And I'll be speaking on Dr. Sloan Burke's behalf today to discuss disaster preparedness among the elderly Latino population. I'd like to first acknowledge the co-investigators of this particular study, Dr. Burke from CSUN, Dr. Jeffrey Bethel, who is at Oregon State University, also a wonderful epidemiologist, and Dr. Stefan Chun, who is a health administration faculty member at CSUN as well. The researchers have no personal or financial relationships to disclose in relation to the research presented here. I have no finances, nor am I very personable either. We can clearly see the devastating impact that disasters have on people, cities, and communities, but really the disproportionate effects of these disasters on the elderly really is clearly not very visible. And we are all affected by disaster to some degree, whether they are natural hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, or man-made, such as oil spills, nuclear meltdowns, war even. But some populations are more affected and more at risk for death and disability than others from these occurrences. Older age, as we all know, they are more at risk for death and disability following disasters. When Hurricane Katrina occurred, 71% of the deaths were to people over the age of 60 during Hurricane Katrina, and half of those were over the age of 75. The majority of those that died were trapped in their homes for lack of mobility, subsequently drowned, had heart attacks, or really exacerbated their pre-existing health conditions, chronic diseases. And we find that chronic diseases and illnesses among the elderly following natural disasters often worsen. And that's due to a lack of food and water, that's due to extreme heat or cold, due to stress, exposure to infection. But really, one of the primary reasons we found after Hurricane Katrina was their lack of access to their medications, or they didn't have enough medical supplies, medication, and sources of care. So we know that racial ethnic communities, when looking at, they are more vulnerable to disasters due to factors such as language barriers, housing patterns, constructions, community isolation, as well as cultural insensitivities. So when we examine the research on emergency preparedness in these two populations, the elderly appear to actually be more prepared than their younger counterparts for disasters. Latinos, however, are less prepared than their non-Hispanic white counterparts in the United States. Now, the importance of these two populations, the elderly and Latinos, cannot be dismissed because both populations will and already account for a large proportion of the population in the United States. We know that the baby boomer generation is getting into its golden years. You know, they've started turning 65 and older. And they will carry a significant proportion of the population for the next 20 years or so. And then Latinos are the fastest growing and the largest minority in the United States. In California alone, they represent 39% of the population. This is equivalent to the non-Hispanic white population in California, also 39%. And demographers estimate that by early next year, that Latinos will be the largest proportionate racial ethnic minority in California, surpassing non-Hispanic whites for the first time. So whereas research exists on disaster preparedness for the elderly population or the Latino population independently, no such data are available for elderly Latinos. And so this particular study attempts to fill that void by surveying elderly Latinos in Southern California whose primary disasters in that area include earthquakes, wildfires, and extreme heat. These are some pictures of some recent, well, fairly recent, large-scale disasters in California. The picture in the upper right corner there is a picture of the JCPenney near Northridge Mall. The Northridge Mall, parts of it collapsed, as well as parts of the university where I am situated, California State University Northridge. This occurred in, I think it was January of 1994, I believe, and the damage from the earthquake occurred up to 85 miles away from the epicenter, which, interestingly enough, didn't occur in Northridge, but actually occurred in Reseda. But because most of the news reports and the damage occurred in Northridge, they call it the Northridge earthquake. But when all was said and done, 8,700 injuries had occurred and 60 fatalities were associated with the 6.7 magnitude earthquake. The wildfires are a frequent occurrence in California, especially since we've had a long period of little rain and a lot of drought. And this is pictures of the Rim wildfires, which occurred earlier this year in August near Yosemite National Park. This was the third largest wildfire in California history, consuming over 270,000 acres, burning 2,800 buildings, and causing 15 fatalities. And this disaster is purported to be man-made. They believed to be caused by a careless hunter at the time that left a fire burning. So the objectives for this study were to determine the levels of awareness, the risk perceptions and practices associated with disaster preparedness, and the utilization of these resources among elderly Latinos in Southern California. And this information is essential so that we can increase preparedness as well as access to disaster resources among elderly Latinos in the area. Our target population for this study were Latinos age 60 and over living in the San Fernando Valley area of Los Angeles County. And we used three sites to recruit our samples, our study population. One was the Vallarta Supermarket, which is a popular ethnic supermarket in Southern California, where most of the Latino population shops for their groceries. MEND, which stands for Meet Each Need with Dignity, Poverty. This is a large nonprofit organization in Los Angeles, driven primarily by volunteers, and they provide a recruitment site at their senior computer classes. And the third site for recruitment was One Generation Senior Center, another nonprofit organization, where they had a senior health fair to recruit participants for this study. Now, each person that participated and filled out the survey was given a $20 gift card to Vallarta Supermarkets as an incentive for participation. This is a picture of one of the flyers that was developed in English as well as Spanish. And this was posted around the different Vallarta stores in the area, as well as at MEND and One Generation. And this is on the day of the recruitment. We had three MPH graduate students from the school. Two of them happened to be bilingual in Spanish. They set up tables in front of the supermarkets and administered the surveys. And Vallarta Supermarket was actually wonderful in providing snacks and foods, as you can see there in the picture. But they also provided reusable grocery bags, as well as made hourly announcements over their public address system to customers of the supermarket, asking them to participate in this particular survey. So in designing the survey instrument, we use sample items from the BRFSS, or the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, and we also created a number of questions about self-reported levels of preparedness, the ability to speak English, and methods and barriers to access information during a disaster. And the instrument was professionally translated to Spanish. It was then back translated by other people to English as a quality check on the original translation. And the MPH graduate students at the recruitment sites, they were also able to administer the survey and consent forms orally in Spanish or English for those who were visually impaired or those who couldn't read. So some basic demographics of our sample. We had 102 survey respondents. The average age was about 70 years old, with two-thirds of the sample represented by women. Most of the sample, about 35%, were still married, followed by 30% who were divorced or separated, and 24% who were widowed. And the average number of adults in the household was between 1 and 2, with the average number of children between 0 and 1, which was an interesting result I found, because most recent immigrants commonly have extended families, joint families, that is multiple generations living under the same roof. But to see between 1 and 2 adults in the household and half a child, well, not really half a child, but between 1 and 2 children, kind of was interesting. But when we look at the average years lived in the U.S. as 36 years, then we are clearly not dealing with a recent immigrant population here. These are people that have been living and residing in the United States for quite a long time. Two-thirds of the sample lived in their own homes. And in our sample, 60%, that is these two bars here, 60% spoke English somewhat well or better. A little more than 10% spoke no English at all. Now, among the entire sample, 72% of them had a cell phone with service at their very own household there. So the sample seemed to be more assimilated, more acculturated to the U.S. than most of the Latino population, the general Latino population in Los Angeles. Now, the sample identified these three as the top natural disasters they have experienced. Number one was earthquakes. Number two was extreme heat, which is commonly found in the San Fernando Valley. And number three was earthquakes. And the top two natural disasters of concern were earthquakes and extreme heat. 75% of the respondents actually experienced the Northridge earthquake in 1994. What was a peculiar response here was hurricanes. Now, I've lived in Los Angeles for more than 25 years, and I have never ever experienced or heard on the news of hurricanes hitting Los Angeles. So I did a little research. I found out that since 1900, there have been 4 tropical cyclones, which are not hurricanes. They're not like the hurricanes you see in Houston, certainly, or in Louisiana, but they are minor hurricanes, and those resulted in heavy rains mostly, which is not terribly exciting. So I think the hurricanes stem from the sample maybe coming from their home countries where they have more tropical climates, and even some transplants from Hurricanes Katrina or Hurricane Sandy moving to California. But we do not have hurricanes in Los Angeles, the last I checked. Earthquakes are, we're fine with that so far. So how did we define preparedness? We used the World Health Organization's definition of preparedness, which was actions taken in anticipation of an emergency to facilitate rapid, effective, and appropriate response to the situation. Examples of preparedness include having emergency water and food available, having emergency supplies available, having a family disaster plan in place, and really what to do during an emergency. Now, when a sample reported their natural disaster preparedness level, 10% said they were well prepared, and more than 50% said they were somewhat prepared. Okay, so the majority of the sample were somewhat prepared or well prepared. Now, 10% in each not prepared at all, and 10% were, a little more than 10% were not sure. So we have about 20% there that were either not prepared at all or not sure, unsure of how to prepare. And the top three reasons why what they stated as a lack of preparedness was, number one, I don't know how to prepare for a disaster. I have no idea how to prepare for a disaster. Number two, I don't have enough money to buy the supplies to prepare for a disaster. Okay? And number three, I have no room at my home to store supplies in case of a disaster. Now, from a public health education and promotion standpoint, the top reason, I don't know how to prepare for a disaster, can be easily addressed. When asked further about preparedness items, what preparedness items do you have in the home? The top three listed were a 3-day supply of water, blankets for warmth, and flashlights with working batteries. And the sample was also asked, how would they like to get emergency information preparedness? How would they like to receive it? That this is a non-emergency times. Okay. And they said they would prefer to receive emergency information disseminated by firefighters, the American Red Cross, as well as the police department. As far as barriers to accessing emergency services and information, these were impeded by a lack of knowledge of what to do. Okay, they had no idea what to do during an emergency. A lack of available information in Spanish. Now, what we find is that there are information available in Spanish that is that they can access, but I guess they don't know where to access that from. And finally, a lack of knowledge on where disaster is located, when it will occur, or where it is even heading. For the case of earthquakes, this last point, okay, is rather moot because earthquakes are unpredictable. We don't know where earthquake is going to happen, when it will happen. Well, where it is heading, it will head, you know, outwards from the epicenter mostly. But interestingly, 90% of the sample would evacuate if an evacuation order was given. I found this to be rather high because older people, the research I found, are less likely to evacuate when ordered to evacuate. Part of the reason for this is they want to protect their property and they are reluctant to seek services and get help because it threatens their independence, if you will. So they tend to be, as we age, we tend to be more socially isolated. Our social networks shrink as we age. Okay, we are widowed, childless, impoverished. We have disabilities, and we prefer to rely on friends for help rather than strangers. We prefer to rely on people of our same age rather than younger persons. So I found this statistic, 90% would evacuate, to be quite interesting. Among the remaining 10% who would not evacuate if ordered, their top reasons were they had special needs or medical conditions which wouldn't be available outside of their home. They were concerned about water and food supplies in evacuation shelters, and they did not know where the shelters were located in the first place. Nearly half the sample did not receive any information about how to make their family or their home safer from disasters. Now, I mentioned earlier that 60% said they were somewhat prepared or well prepared for disasters, but nearly half of them had not received any information about this. So this is a little interesting statistic here, why half of them didn't receive information, but more than half were well prepared or somewhat prepared. But the information is available in Southern California. It's available at state and local health departments. It's available at American Red Cross chapters, on government websites such as CDC or FEMA. There are some that are even translated in Spanish. I guess the issue is they are not aware of that, and also maybe they don't have the time or don't make the plans to access that information. Now, how would the elderly like to receive information on preparing for disasters? The top three listed: television, radio, and free classes, with emphasis on the word free there. This is how they would like to receive their information, okay, through these kinds of mediums there. But during an emergency, their top three preferred methods during emergency for emergency alerts: radio, television, and cell phone text alerts. And there's a problem with this issue here. Any ideas what that problem is? That's correct. When Northridge earthquake happened, and I was living in West Los Angeles at the time, our cell phones and our regular landlines did not work. It didn't work for a few days, actually, because they were overburdened. They were taxed by everyone trying to get on, okay? Radio and television didn't work either because we lacked electricity for a few days. In fact, when I woke up, I was a UCLA graduate student at the time, and I remember I had 8 roommates, and our emergency thought immediately was, oh my God, no electricity. We have so much food in the refrigerator. Let's just eat. And so we, you know, through the morning, it happened, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Through the morning, we ate all night. We just cleaned out the entire refrigerator. That was our emergency response at the time. Okay? So electricity, okay, there's no guarantee that you'll have electricity during a disaster. And cell phones and landlines will probably be down. Okay? I don't think this sample foresaw those issues during an emergency. Now, looking at the bivariate statistics here on the contingency tables, we found no association between respondents' English-speaking ability and their self-reported level of preparedness for a disaster. Also, we found no association between how long they have resided in the United States as well as their self-reported level of preparedness. Keep in mind, the average length of residency was 36 years in the U.S. Okay, so we did not compare this to recent immigrants. As for a lack of knowledge on what to do during a disaster, this also was not associated with self-reported levels of preparedness. However, this may be masked by insufficient statistical power and sample size, which I'll point out shortly. When we looked at the lack of information in Spanish, okay, lack of available Spanish information on disaster preparedness and their self-reported preparedness level, we did find a statistically significant association. That is, there's a larger proportion that indicated yes, there was a lack of information here, okay, about 56-57% who said they were not, that was associated with not being prepared or not sure. Whereas if we look at those who are well-prepared or somewhat prepared, that proportion was close to 80% here among that said, no, there wasn't a lack of information, or though, no, we did have information available. Now, the reason I say that this p-value being so large and not non-significant is because I think our sample size with our small cell sizes really affects the stability of the estimates, and this is one of the limitations of our study. But as we can see here, again, the same pattern holds. This lack of knowledge of what to do primarily occurs among those who weren't prepared or not sure here, whereas those that say they knew what to do, you know, close to 70% of them here were in the somewhat prepared and well-prepared categories there. And so I think with a larger sample size, we might actually see this to be a significant result. So to summarize the key findings of our study, in our sample, elderly Latinos, close to 60% of them said they were somewhat prepared or well prepared for a disaster. About 20% said they were unsure or not prepared at all for a disaster. We found no statistical significance between emergency preparedness and English speaking ability, no association between emergency preparedness and length of residency, none between the knowledge on what to do during emergency and emergency preparedness, although I think, again, that's due to a lack of a large sample there. However, we did find a significant association between emergency preparedness and whether preparedness info was available in Spanish. And again, just to recount the limitations of the study, the small sample size did yield some unstable estimates, especially when we looked at multiple categories in chi-square tests and ANOVA. And because this sample was selected, it was a convenient sample and it was self-selected. Also, a lot of times when people entered in the study and realized they got a $20 gift card, they immediately called their friends and said, hey, come on down to Vallarta. We have $20 gift cards. They're giving away $20 gift cards if you fill out this survey. So in a sense, it was a convenience, kind of a snowball sampling. And so selection bias certainly can play a role in terms of the external validity of this particular study. Clearly, more research, larger samples need to be done in this population. And I know that Dr. Burke is actively looking to procure more funding to be able to expand this study. So based on the study findings, the following were recommended for the elderly Latino population. There should be culturally appropriate disaster preparedness information available in Spanish, which there are, but they are hard to locate or access in our community. There should be more collaboration with fire and police departments to disseminate information to the communities. Most of the information that's disseminated is through the American Red Cross and not through the police and fire departments. Spanish TV and radio should have regular announcements about disaster preparedness. Now, I don't know if regular TV and radio has regular announcements about disaster preparedness other than the tone that goes on during emergencies, or if I'm seeing a new special on it or not. But hopefully the prevalence of that can be increased. There should be free preparedness classes in Spanish as well as English through the American Red Cross. Again, they do exist. They are there. But we just need to, I guess, advertise it more to the community so that they know that it is available to them. But I find the last point rather important recommendation, and that is using schools and children to educate their own families about emergency preparedness. I'll share my story. I did not know how to prepare for an earthquake until my six-year-old came home from school one time and asked me how we should prepare if an earthquake happens. And stop, drop, and roll. Right? And we know that's not going to help during an earthquake. It might exacerbate the situation more. He says, "No, Dad, that's for if you're on fire. But if an earthquake happens, do you guys know what occurs? Anyone from California? What's the key phrase? Anyone know? Oh, I don't feel so bad then. It's drop, cover, and hold. Drop down, cover yourself under a table, something sturdy, and hold on." Now, I would not have known that. I mean, if I had actively searched out that information, maybe I would have found that. But I realized that for my children because they taught them emergency preparedness in the schools, and they brought it back home to let me know. So I think that's a really valuable recommendation if we can do that in the schools. I want to end by thanking the American Red Cross, Mend Poverty, One Generation, the Vallarta Supermarkets, but also to the National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities, which is a NIH grant for which this was funded. And thank you for coming today. Questions? Yes?
Do you find any correlation with local search programs and fire departments for those who study and have very well prepared?
Do I find any studies that show that those communities are well prepared through the fire departments?
Well, as you surveyed, it wasn't that they were well prepared. Was there any correlation with local CERT programs being
prepared? That's a good question. I don't think we analyzed that. Yeah, I don't think we analyzed that. But certainly that should be something because we have the data available to be able to look at that. Yeah, but that would be an interesting finding to see whether it's effective or not. Yes, thank you.
Could you go back to your findings?
Yes.
So I'm a little bit curious because your first and your last findings to me don't necessarily make sense. So I wonder if you've had any thoughts about that.
No statistical significance in household preparedness, better lack of preparedness information in Spanish. Well, one is the ability to speak English, and the other is no information available in Spanish. So I think they sound similar, but actually they might be two different things. I wonder if looking at the relationship between information available in Spanish and whether they speak English, whether there's any significance there. So I'm sorry I'm not able to comment on that at this time. Do you have any thoughts? Any other members of the audience have any thoughts on that? It was written, but it could also be orally administrated.
How much of it was written? someone is literate and very educated in Spanish, they would be able to search those things.
Yes, good point. Yes, and I don't think we got anything on literacy level and any variables on literacy level as well as educational attainment for this particular study. So I'm not able to address that question either. I apologize. I didn't conduct the survey myself. Yes. And I think absolutely there is an association between income and whether you are prepared for disasters. So like you said, there are competing priorities for your income, you know, rent for the home, food on the table. Disaster preparedness is probably at the bottom of that priority list there. And I'm certain the literature also proves that as well. So yes, now again, these are not recent immigrants. These are people that have been in the United States for quite some time. So I'm making an assumption that these elderly Latinos may be better off than recent immigrant Latinos. Good point. Yes?
I have a general question. Did you try to compare these findings from Hispanic elders to other elders, basically like white elders? What are the variables differentiate in terms of preparedness of this group compared with some other groups? Is there any, not significantly, but is there a drastic difference?
Well, generally speaking, elderly are more prepared for disasters than younger individuals. They are more prepared for disasters than younger individuals. Now, Latino elderly, in this study, it shows that 60% were somewhat or well prepared for disasters. So I think that's in line with the elderly population, but not so much in line with the general Latino population, because Latinos are not as well prepared as non-Hispanic whites. So I think because of the assimilation of this particular group, this particular sample in the San Fernando Valley, they fall in line closer with what we find as risk perceptions and factors for elderly rather than they do for Latinos.
So is it fair to say higher proportion of elderly Latinos are more prepared than younger Latinos?
Yes, I think that is fair to say. That is fair to say. Any other questions or comments? Well, it's 9:35. I thank you for staying for this session despite having only two speakers, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your conference here in Boston. Safe travels back home.